Hi, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 222 on October 23rd, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com/RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So, hey, everybody, how's it going? I had a fabulous weekend. I had some really exceptional playtime with a new play partner of mine, a lovely connection who lives locally and I have great hopes for. That's all I'm going to say right now. And then I had a really nice date with a very young man. And you know how much I love the very young men. Old enough to drink, you know, I intended to do happy hour at the restaurant that we went to, but it turns out they canceled their happy hour on Saturdays. I guess they didn't need to do it because they had plenty of business anyway. But it was the first time that I went out to dinner with a 25-year-old and he paid the bill, which was freaking awesome. And very sweet and very generous. So yes, Saturday was excellent. And then Sunday I did a webinar, which I always love to do. And then I did office hours after that, and I keep waiting for you $50 donors to show up at office hours, but I haven't seen you there yet. And what else happened? Well, I went to the gym both days. I've still been going to the gym like crazy, getting up early. They don't open the gym until 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and Sunday, though, so I was a little bit later than I'm used to. As I sit here recording this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, I was at the gym at 6:15 this morning. And on the way home, I got inspired because on my front deck, I have a whole bunch of pots with plants. And they go in and out of states of flowering and neglect and blooming and looking incredible. And you know how it is. So I had a couple of pots that weren't looking too hot, and I don't have patience with plants that aren't looking too hot. I just throw them away and buy new ones. So the best place to buy new ones is a place that actually opens up at 6 o'clock in the morning, so that was freaking awesome. I went there, and I got some new plants, and those are waiting out on the deck for me to pot them and replace the ones that have died or are looking shabby. But I promised myself I wouldn't do that until I got the podcast done, especially since I procrastinated last week. So here I am recording away. So, hey, let's do a patron update. Yes. I have three new patrons. The first one is Robert for $5 a month. Robert, thank you so much for your support and your generosity. George for $3 a month. George is actually an interesting story because he pledged a long time ago when I very first started on Patreon, and then his credit card got declined and there was a big mix-up and he never got any of the emails informing him. And so finally we connected, and he re-pledged for $3 a month. So, George, it's lovely to have you back. Thank you so much for your generosity and your pledge. And then Jason signed up for $5 a month as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your pledges and your support. I really, really appreciate it. And then I also got 2 one-time donations. Polly sent in a donation of $20. Thank you so much, Polly. And David sent in a one-time donation of $50. You guys are just happening here. Thank you, David. That was very generous. So yes, it's been quite a good week. And it occurred to me when I was listing all of these that, you know, clearly one of the things that I don't list when I do this are the people who delete their pledges or the people who reduce them. And I think I'm going to leave it that way. If you're ever curious exactly how much Patreon is paying me every month, all you have to do is click into Patreon and it's right there. We do have the choice of whether to have that show or not. And I always thought it was kind of a good thing to have showing because it sort of shows where I am in my goals and everything, as opposed to sort of hiding it so people who sign up to support you have no idea how much you're actually getting from Patreon. So I decided to leave it there. But if you're ever curious, you can go take a look. I believe right now it's at 535. At one point in time, it had gotten up to 650 or something, and I've said this a time or two. And now I'm rebuilding because I lost a couple of big donors. And you know what? Anybody who has pledged before and had to delete that pledge because their financial situation changed, or maybe they're just not into pegging so much anymore or anything, all I have to say to you is thank you so much for your support, because it means a lot to me no matter how long it lasts. And I know things change, people's lives change, financial situations change, it's all good. So, okay, wow, that was a way cool patron update and donation update. Okay, so now I'm going to launch into a fairly big subject that I want to talk a fair amount about, because it's so cool and it's so important, and I haven't really participated in this in the past, and it's kind of silly that I haven't, because basically this is all about prostates. So you would think, wouldn't you, that Ruby Ryder would be on it. You would really think that I would totally be on it. So what I'm talking about here is Movember. For those of you unfamiliar with what Movember is, it is support for the fight against prostate cancer and a bunch of other things, which I'll go into. And it started as a group of guys growing mustaches for the month of November. And I think they were inspired by one of the moms of one of the men who was raising money for breast cancer. And they thought, well, maybe we could raise money too. And so right there in the beginning, they decided they were going to raise money to help research and what have you regarding prostate cancer. Now, interestingly enough, on the website of Movember, it says that no money was raised that first year, and I'm confused about that because it does also say in their origin story that they were charging each guy $10 to grow a mustache. Well, so there were 30 guys there. You would think that it would at least have $300. But the point is, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of something big, and it's quite interesting to read that origin story if you go to their website, because it took off from there. And then they thought, well, you know, we could do something with this. We could, like, raise money and send money to a cause, right? And they did exactly that, and the next year they connected it to prostate cancer, and since then it's been connected to testicular cancer and men's health. And finally, in 2016, they started supporting efforts to address the whole situation of mental health and suicide for men. As far as the not expressing emotions and socially isolating and, you know, acting tough and like you don't have to feel your feelings kind of a thing. And I think that's an incredibly evolved position to take for a big organization. And at this point in time, Movember is a very big organization. They started in 2003 with 30 guys, and now they're up to like 3 million. So how does this work? What happens? Well, it's like a fundraiser thing, and it lasts the month of November. If you are a person able to grow a mustache, one way that you can do it, which is kind of fun, is to grow a mustache and take daily pictures. And they even have a thing where on the website where you can turn it into a movie. You take that daily picture of your face and then it puts them all together, right? And you ask people to donate and you try and raise money for the cause. Well, if you're a mustache grower, people are going to say, so what the hell you got on your lip there? Or they're going to say whatever they say. Hey, that looks good. I don't know what they're going to say. But people notice it when you change your facial hair. So that starts the conversation. And that's the fun part, is the starting the conversation. And that is actually the part that's the most powerful, because it gives you an opening to tell them what you're doing and what you're raising money for. So over the years, they clearly recognize that not only people who can grow mustaches can participate. So they have, and they call the guys who participate Mo Bros, right? And so now they recognize Mo Sistas as well. So this is my first year of being a Mo Sista. And I took a picture of that I had of myself, and I drew a mustache on it. And I put it up as like my profile picture there at the Movember site, because that's where I'm trying to raise money. During the month of Movember, there's a few different ways to participate. One is that you can grow the mustache, right? Another is you can have an event. And another is you can walk or run or say, you know, I'm going to do 2 miles a day. I think that's their suggestion, is 2 miles a day. So, you know, you guys, I've been talking about how I've been working out at the gym. And I thought, well, you know, I do half an hour on the elliptical on the mornings I go to the gym, which are most mornings. So how many miles is that? Oh, Google is my friend. I fucking love Google. So I found out that, 30 minutes on the elliptical equates about to 6,000 and some steps. And that was well over 2 miles. And there's a way that you can toggle the machine to show you different measurements, so to speak. And one of those toggles is how far you've gone. So it's going to be easy for me to measure that. And I decided I was going to do the 2 miles a day. It's going to be pretty serious undertaking for me, because while in the beginning of doing this exercise thing, I was going 5-6 days a week, I'm down to about 3 or 4 now. You know, so it's quite a commitment, and it will start on November 1st. And I'm going to take little pictures every day, but it's not going to be of a mustache growing, clearly. It's probably going to be of the control screen of the elliptical, you know. I'll do that and show you guys. Or maybe it'll be me all hot and sweaty with no makeup on. That'll be entertaining. But the reason I want to do this is because this organization is doing some really wonderful things. Let me give you some statistics. The first statistic is actually kind of a sad one, because remember I said I was going to do 2 miles a day? Well, basically when you sign up to do the move part, because, you know, you either grow a mustache, you move your feet, walk, run, whatever, or you have an event. I can't remember what the word is for that one. Point is, I chose move. So they describe that as 60 miles over the month. Move this Movember by running or walking 60 miles over the month. That's 60 miles for the 60 men we lose to suicide each hour, every hour. Yeah, I told you it was a sad statistic. So people who are trying to work on that, man, I totally support that. Here are some other statistics. Since the inception of all of this, they have 1,200 funded projects with 20 men's health partners in 20 countries. And mainly what they're supporting is the fight against prostate cancer, testicular cancer, men's health in general. And then, like I said, most recently, starting in 2016, they added mental health and suicide prevention. And I was just so proud of them for adding that. This was a fascinating thing for me to find out. I talked about it last year, I'm pretty sure, or maybe 2 years ago, because one of my listeners, who calls himself the One Ball Wonder, had testicular cancer and had one ball removed, right? So he was the one that sort of alerted me to this and told his story and everything. And I had no idea that it was this involved. Sure, I'd heard of Movember, I've watched the guys growing mustaches, but I'd never really gone to the website, never really checked it out. And when I did, I was really impressed. Because now as I'm reading the stats, here's what I'm seeing is that it started as 30 people in 2003. Now it's over 5 million. I think I said 3 million a little while ago. I was wrong. Mo Bros and Mo Sistas to date. And here's a little blurb they wrote about the mental health stuff. In Canada, and it says 2016, in Canada, Australia, and the UK, Movember launches the Social Innovators Challenge. The project aims to develop, pilot, and evaluate 13 innovative projects to restore and strengthen the social connections of men, particularly those at risk of becoming socially isolated. And that's just particularly wonderful. At the risk of becoming socially isolated, like I said, that's really evolved, that's really aware. And I so appreciate that they're addressing this because it's so needed. I mean, I talk about this on the podcast in different ways, but there's so much overlap here. Goodness. So, you know, go there, sign up, grow a mustache, make a donation or whatever works for you. But do consider participating in a really excellent month-long, very needed focus on men's health, including our beloved prostate. The boys, as I call them, another name for the testicles, I always call them just the boys. And men's mental health and suicide prevention. And yes, I do want to credit the One Ball Wonder, because if not for him, I wouldn't have become so interested in this amazing organization to begin with. So I'm going to give you guys some links. I'm going to put a link to my particular site, and if you want to, you can go there and look at the mustache I drew on my face. I also am going to use that as the picture for my blog when I post this podcast. So there's a couple of different ways to see it. And also I'm going to put a link to their history because it has a small write-up for each year starting in 2003 about what's happened since then and where they are now and their total raised amount of money and the men's health organizations that they're partnering with and all of that. So now, last but not least, please know that there are people out there who have prostates who are not men. Men are not the only people who have prostates. Lots of different gender identities have prostates. And so it's hard to talk about this without kind of defaulting to the men. And there is a nod to that when I signed up on Movember's website. They asked if I was male or female, but they had a little thing right there saying, you know, we know this is not the best two choices here, and that some people identify as neither, but we just want to know what best emails to send you and help because you're signing up with us, right? But at the same time, when I posted it on Facebook and I said, you know, these are subjects near and dear to my heart, men, their prostates, their testicles, and their mental health, right? Well, not too long past, like a couple of hours, and one of my lovely friends on Facebook left a comment and said, you know, men aren't the only ones who have prostates. Ha! So yeah, I blew it on the gender binary. But you know, in a situation like that, the best thing to do is cop to it, thank the person for showing you what was fucked up, and then fix it, which I did. But in talking about this on my podcast, it was difficult to use all the their pronouns and that kind of stuff. And so I decided to announce this at the end instead. Yes, there are people out there who have prostates who identify as female. There are people out there who identify as male who don't have prostates. There are people who are non-gender identities, non-binary, who identify as queer that have prostates or don't. So there you go. All of those things exist. So for anybody who's listening who falls into any one of those categories, I did not mean to insult or exclude or discriminate whatsoever. So my goal during November is $500. I would love to raise that amount, and I'm going to do that 2 fucking miles every day. I bet I lose some more weight, you know. I mean, 2 miles isn't that much, so I feel really confident that I can do it because I do a lot more than that when I hit the gym. So I suppose one of my first questions for myself is going to be, okay, do I say 2 miles a day and hold it to per day, you know what I mean? In other words, okay, if I fuck up one day and I miss it, do I have to do 4 the next day? I don't know if that's cheating or not. I don't know. I think I'm going to try to do at least 2 every day and see if I can actually exercise every single day. Because it's not like I don't have the time to squeeze it in somewhere. And this is what I've discovered getting up at the crack of fucking dawn. It's still not my favorite thing, but you know what? When I do it, oh, it's awesome because the whole rest of the day is mine. And I'm so productive from those morning hours after I exercise. For about the first 3 hours after that, I get so much done. So anyway, yes, make a donation or grow the mustache and get on Movember yourself and set up your own fundraising thing because, you know, this is how it works is we all talk to each other and then that next person sets up a thing and does their fundraising and then they touch someone else and they set up a thing and they do their fundraising. But I hope at least one of you goes and does this and does the mustache thing and makes a movie of it because I want to see it. I cannot do that part. It would take way too much time for me to do little fake mustaches and to paste them on and make pictures, even though it would be really, really funny. So I'm hoping that one of you people out there who can grow a mustache actually does that because I think it would be damn cool. Okay, let's see. What is next here? Oh, well, once we've talked all about Movember and all that kind of stuff, what better to jump into next but pegging celebration time? Okay, the subject on this letter was finally, all in caps. Howdy, Ruby. This is not the first time I've written you. You actually read my last letter on episode 179. I was the manly man. Parentheses, sports. Fella that was scared to tell his lady about his secret desires, but had to, out of necessity, due to delayed ejaculation syndrome, from a vasectomy. Well, we did talk about it right before you read my letter, and last night we finally did it. We had played around before, but she wasn't too keen on strapping it up and taking me to Pound Town. But through effective conversation and listening, we were able to understand what each other's trepidations and desires were. I think the conversation part was just as important as the research portion was for me. Open and effective communication for the win. Am I right? I would love to give you a romantic and cheesy story about how it finally happened. But frankly, it just did. There was no lead-up. No candles, no booze. We had just put the kiddos to bed, and I took a shower. Our tools had arrived the day before, so I was waiting until she was ready. After my shower, I was laying in bed watching football, and she told me to come into the bathroom. And there she was in the rodeo harness. She looked amazing. It was like a Christmas morning aura was all around her. She told me to go get the dildos and let's get to it before the kids interrupt. Well, hell, I wasn't waiting and leaped to the drawer where we keep them and was back in a flash. Next thing I know, I am bent over the counter and she was giving me the business. It felt incredible. I literally have no words to describe its awesomeness. You know how most things that you wait forever for and then it happens and it's a dud? Yeah, not this thing. We did have some equipment issues. The suction cup dildo that I first bought years ago kept falling out of the O-ring of the rodeo harness. So we audibled to the Tantus purple dildo that I have. I liked the feeling of the first one better, but the second felt really good as well. It seemed like seconds, and then I exploded like a teenager, the first time a girl fools around with you. Man, oh man, holy shit snacks. My legs were shaky, my brain didn't know what to do, and I was lit like a Christmas tree with adrenaline. Boy, was it worth a few awkward conversations to get this far. I'm hoping that it'll happen again or become a common thing. The biggest issue in the whole thing was my wife's visual as she looked down after putting on the dildo. She said that it really freaked her out to look down and see a penis. Fortunately, she continued with it and ignored her hesitation. Thank you for the help, Ruby. Side note. Fellas, seriously, don't be scared to talk to your Mrs. or Ms. about it. I waited way too long and regret it. Have open, effective communication and be honest. If it ain't in the cards today, that doesn't mean it will never be in the cards. Don't be afraid of getting shot down. Let's face it, she's with you. That means she will support you. Happy pegging, dudes, and good luck. And he signs it, Manly Man. I am so happy for you. It sounds like, despite the lack of romance, if you will, that it was quite an amazing experience. Oh my gosh. So, first thing I'm going to do, because I have some other comments, but the first thing I'm going to do is give you an equipment hint. So, there is a thing that you can get that is a stabilizing ring. It's kind of a squishy foam stabilizing ring that looks like a donut. And you can put that first dildo that felt so good to you through that inside the harness. In other words, the dildo is going to go through the ring, and then it's going to go through the hole in the rodeo harness. That should stabilize it a little bit. That's the thing about the fabric harnesses, is that they do have sewn-in O-rings, and you can't change it to provide a little bit more stability. But the ring should be excellent for making sure that that dildo doesn't fall out. It sounds like the base of it is just a little too small. You didn't say what brand it was or anything. But I'm going to put a link to that in the Linkorama, and it should definitely help. So as far as my comments are concerned, 176 was a ways ago, and sometimes I remember stuff and sometimes I don't. But I definitely remember Holy Shit Snacks. Because I think you said that before, and I absolutely love that. One of the things I might suggest for the two of you is to take the webinar, because now that you've done it, I think it would be a really excellent thing to just learn a whole lot more about it. There are so many ins and outs, oh, pun intended, right? But I didn't really mean to go there, about pegging. There's tips and techniques. You know, I put it all out there on the table so you can just look at everything, including the misconceptions, the trepidations, all that kind of stuff. So you might want to ask your lovely missus if she is interested in going to one of the webinars and, you know, going to it. Well, you sit there and watch it, right? So it'd be way cool if the two of you watched it together. That would be totally amazing, I think. I so enjoyed your description of, you know, when you wait forever for something and then you finally do it and it doesn't live up to your expectations. Yes. But not this time. I get that it totally, totally did. So congratulations. And I'm not sure if your wife knows that, you know, I read your story and congratulate you and play the music for you and everything like that, but I'm so happy to be able to do that for you. It's been a long road for you. I get that. So I definitely also really appreciate the encouragement for other receivers to talk to their partners. Absolutely. And the communication, the words that you used about the communication that you two had are really telling. Effective conversation and listening. Conversation isn't just talking about how you feel. It's really being quiet and listening to how your partner feels too. And being able to take that in rather than just like defend your position, if you will. Yes, effective communication is really, really important. So yay. I hope you get it again too. Like lots. Like it just as much as you want. Okay. Let's move on to the next letter here. This is in reference to the testing for cannabis-infused lube for the guy who works in the airline industry or something along those lines. And somebody wrote in with a comment, and they labeled it weed testing. You asked for input about marijuana testing. I had this issue because in my state it is legal with a medical card, but my company does random testing. I had a great conversation with my human resources manager. We have an excellent human resources staff, and I have trust in them. Your aircraft mechanic may not have the same faith, but they went over with me exactly what I could expect and what drugs were tested for and what weren't in terms of THC or CBD. Yeah, so for the guy who was wondering about this, not sure if that helps at all, but wouldn't it be awesome if your human resources department were as informed and forthcoming and non-judgmental and what have you as this person's? So I thought I'd read that just to give you a little feedback. This is all, what I've got so far. So for the writer of this letter, thank you for writing in and adding this to the conversation. And I'm glad that you had such a good experience with your human resources people. Okay, so the next thing that's happening that I want to tell you about is, I'm a little late to the party here, but there's a website called kinkly.com. They've been around for a while, and they do this contest every year of the top 100 sex bloggers, right? And I've been named in the top 100 pretty consistently every time that I've taken the trouble to tell everybody that I'm running. And to run is not difficult. You just have to get a few votes to qualify within a certain amount of time. I think I was supposed to have 5 votes by the 13th, and I've ignored it until now, so I hope 5 people went in there and voted for me without me saying anything. You know, Kinkley sends out an email to everybody and lets them know that they're doing this, and they also tell the people who were named before so that they can go in and update their listing as a sex blogger and change anything if they need to or that kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm going to put a link to that in the Linkorama, and I would appreciate your vote. All you have to do is just click on it, go there, and vote for me. It is so quick. They don't ask you to register. They don't ask you to do anything, which is really quite a relief. It's awesome. You don't have to give them an email. All you have to do is click that little pink box that says vote, right? So Kinkley is an interesting website. I had an interaction with them many years ago because they wanted to use some of my content that they found on my website, Pegging Paradise, and they wanted to put it up on Kinkley, and we had a conversation about that. But what ended up happening was that they kind of cut the hell out of it without asking me, unfortunately. And you know, yeah, that didn't go over very well, so I asked them to take it down, and they were quite happy to take it down, no problem. And so we really haven't had much interaction since then, except for the top 100 sex blogging superheroes, right? But to be fair, I am quite particular about anybody messing with my work or changing my writing, especially without asking. I think that their website is kind of like fast food sex ed. And you know what? There is absolutely a place for fast food, and there's a place for fast food sex ed. I think it definitely serves a purpose and likely serves as a great introduction to certain topics for some folks. So there you have it, kinkley.com. And you know, last year, you beautiful people gave me so many votes that I scored number 1 in Reader's Choice. Holy crap! It was amazing, and it just warmed my heart. I felt appreciated and really special. I'm happy to be on the list at all, and thankful for all of you who take the time to listen and read and have an interest in what I offer, which is absolutely my passion. I'm really so grateful that I get to do what I love. In terms of being a top sex blogger, it's sort of interesting because when you go to my blog, mostly what I've been posting on my blog lately are not articles. It's the posting for my podcast, right? So I noticed that and I thought, wow, I got to get to writing some more articles here. Absolutely. I mean, I write the erotica, but, you know, people who aren't my patrons don't get to see that. So yes, the latest article I wrote, which I mentioned in a previous podcast, was about age disparity. And I started to sit down this morning and write another article. And then I thought, no, let's get the podcast done first, because there's a lot of preparation. And then there's the recording, and then there's the editing, and then there's all of the other stuff surrounding it that I do when I post it up and send the emails and all that. Oh, and there's another thing I wanted to mention about patrons and donations and that kind of stuff. One of the things that's happened since I stopped using Patreon as the place where I post everything, and instead I send my patrons emails, is that I have a whole lot more freedom to do whatever the hell I want. You know, primarily I did that because of censorship. So awesome, no censorship. I can send links to pictures of people doing graphic pegging, which is sometimes really hot, or GIFs, or, you know, whatever I want. So that censorship is gone now, which is a total relief. It's really awesome, and I didn't have to change anything about what I offer to all of you. But one of the things I've been thinking about for a while is some of you come and sign up as a patron, which, as you know, is like a recurring charge, right? And that's awesome, and you guys are awesome, and I totally, totally love it. But at the same time, there are those of you out there who really just don't have any interest in having a recurring charge that's automatic coming out of your credit card. And I totally understand that there's a myriad of reasons why you might not want that. So you are kind enough to send me one-time donations like the two that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. So you know what? Here's what I decided to do. I decided, like, for example, David, who gave me a $50 one-time donation, I put him on my $5 per month email list as if he was a patron for a period of 10 months, because I have this software that I can use that will allow me to put in a period of time, and then it'll automatically end it so I don't have to go back and do it by hand. So it's really, really handy. And that part's not important. It's just that I really wanted to give something to the people that were being so generous as to just, like, send me a donation. Some of you might be thrilled to get it, and some of you may not have all that much interest in it, but I send those through MailChimp, and you can always unsubscribe if it's not something you're interested in. But that felt better to me because I like to give back a little bit. I'm so grateful for your support, and I do all of these awesome things for the people who are patrons. So why wouldn't I try and give some of that as well to the people who just give me a bulk payment as opposed to signing up for the recurring thing? Yes. So that's something I figured out today. I'm going to try and backtrack on those one-time donations and, you know, give you a time period on a mailing list so that I can give you these things that I really want to. But if you have given me a donation in the past and you'd like to take advantage of that and experience the email and check it out and see what it's like, just shoot me an email and say, hey, you know, this is my name, this is when I did the donation, whatever. But I am trying to backtrack through my PayPal records to get all of you taken care of. It's kind of exciting to do that because when it comes down to it, I just want more of you to see all this cool stuff. And who better than the people who are actually sending me money, whether it's a recurring payment or a one-time donation? So yeah, absolutely. Okay, so yeah, that's a fun thing. I got off on a tangent there. So go to Kinkley. I'm going to put the link there. And vote for me if you would be so kind. That would be totally cool. So a fan who wrote in and was asking about a specific toy kind of enlightened me about this new toy that came out. I'm not really on the mailing list for emails from the Fuse company, which makes the Fuse Tangos and all the Fuse singles that all have the insertable vibe little pocket thing. And Tiffany is, and apparently they sent her an email, but I didn't get one, and I didn't get the notice. I didn't see the, you know, the bulletin board or whatever, that Fuse came out with a new double. Well, this is an exciting thing because, you know, there aren't that many doubles out there in the pegging world, in the toy market. So this is how it's different. For any of you out there who have the Fuse Tango, you will notice that it is a fairly firm silicone and has just enough flex in the connector point that connects the bulb that goes inside the giver to the cock part that goes in the receiver to facilitate a number of different positions. And there's a lot of things I love about this toy. Well, they've made a new one. Now, they did have a line of more realistic looking toys that had, you know, quote unquote, flesh tones, whatever that means, because we all have skin that's different colors. Anyway, that was softer. They used a different kind of silicone. I believe they called it Fuse 10, was the type of silicone that they used. And they talked about it being softer and more lifelike, if you will. So they took that silicone and they made a double. Now, what they did say is that it pretty much necessitates the use of a harness because it is softer and a little bit more floppy. But I thought this might be a really cool thing for those of you out there who have wanted a double but wanted one with the feel of a dual density, because I'm getting the impression that this is what this is like. As soon as I finish the podcast, I'm going to write to him and say, hey, can you send me one of those so I can check it out? But it does tout that it is quite realistic with veins and all kinds of stuff, and it does look really good. So I'm anxious to check it out. And of course, it has that vibe insert, just like all of the Fuse toys in that line, that works wonderfully. So yes, I'm excited about that because I know there's some receivers out there who have long wanted a double that is a little more forgiving, so to speak, a little softer, a little more gentle of a ride, if you will. So I'm thrilled that this is happening. And thank you to the fan who pointed me to this. You said you bought the regular one because I hadn't mentioned it, the new one, and it's called the Fuse Tango Real. Just R-E-A-L, right? So that's always an interesting sensation. You know, I'm supposed to be like pegging guru and know all the toys and whatever. And I just kind of go, well, never heard of that. Let me Google it. And like I said before, Google is my friend. So I look it up and I send a text to Tiffany and say, so, hey, I didn't even know this was out. So there you have it. In Toyland. Exciting things are happening. It's totally cool. So I will make sure that that's available on the Entice Me website, and the link will be in the Linkorama. Okay, so now I have for you something I have permission to read that was included in a request for a free pass to the webinar, because as you know, I do the webinars for free for the givers. And then I asked for a $15 donation from the receivers, but they can get in free too if they want to. All you have to do is send me an email. So this was the message that included a request. My significant other of almost 22 years expressed an interest in trying this out a little over a month ago. We have some, quote, tools, end quote, that we ordered from your recommendations and are just waiting for them to arrive. He had me listen to the podcast for the introduction, and I have been listening to other podcasts ever since then. I will admit, I had a closed mind about pegging, didn't even know it had a specific term, and that was due to how crude it looked when portrayed in a few of the movies that we had seen. I commented that I would never do that. Without realizing it, to him, it shut a door that he was curious about, and it took him more than a year to finally say something. I will also admit that I was taken aback with what he wanted, but I didn't understand it. I have a much better understanding of pegging now, and I will admit that I am excited to give this a try. I will do anything for my partner, and after almost 22 years, we look to spice things up for our sex lives. I would love to be able to be a part of your webinar set to air tomorrow at 10 a.m. Please let me know what I need to do or where I need to go in order to be able to be a part of it. Signed, Giver in Washington. Oh, that was such an amazing share. You know, thank you, thank you, thank you. And of course, that webinar has come and gone. I trust you really enjoyed it. And I know that you said that you listened to the podcast for the introduction. That would have been number 112. And this is why I think that the 112 is such an amazing thing, because I do believe it's common that givers, potential givers, just really don't understand what pegging is all about. They don't understand why their partner would want something like this. And you know, that's one of the first things that I go through in the webinar. First, I talk about all the reasons that people are scared to try it, or have fears or trepidations or things about it that bother them or what have you, assumptions, misconceptions, whatever. And then I go through all the reasons why it's a way cool thing. And there are many and varied. There really are. So yeah. Excellent, excellent. I trust you enjoyed the webinar, and thank you for allowing me to share that. That was a particularly open and articulate sharing of how you came to be ready to take a webinar about pegging. And I hope those toys that you got are working out great. And mostly, I'm just really glad that you're totally excited about it. And I will bet that your significant other is as well. Thank you for sharing that with me. So the next webinars we got going are Thursday, November 1st at 6 p.m. And remember, that's the one where if you go to a wild Halloween party, literally on Halloween instead of on one of the weekend days, just don't get too trashed if you're planning on showing up the next day at the webinar, fully functional or mostly functional, Thursday, November 1st at 6 p.m. The next one after that is Saturday, November 17th at 10 a.m. I will probably do one in December. I've been averaging 2 to 3 per month, approximately every 10 days, but I think I'll probably do one at the beginning of December, and then I won't do any until the next year because holidays, all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of a webinar break. One of the things that's been happening with the webinars is that every time I teach one, I always have a pen and paper ready because something will come to me that I either need to add, like another slide in my PowerPoint presentation, or one more thing that I want to include in the information I provide in the webinar. But the thing is what's happening is it's 2 hours of information, okay? So that's a big ask, to ask someone to sit there and watch their computer screen, or especially it's a big ask for watching their phone for like 2 hours. That's a freaking long period of time. So here is what I'm in the process of doing. I'm going to separate out some topics, designate them as beginning and advanced, and I am in the process of developing the advanced class. I already had some topics that I didn't talk about at all in the beginning webinar, but I'm going to shift some over so that beginning webinar is only 1.5 hours. Really, you can only digest so much information at once. It's that teacher in me that wants to give you all the information and make sure that I didn't forget anything, which is kind of wild. But the one thing that I do offer as well, which would ameliorate that, is you take the webinar anytime and you can come back and take it again at any time. That same link will work. You just drop in. You don't need a ticket. You don't even need to let me know you're going to be there. It's totally fine. It's not like people log into the webinar room and I'm like, okay, who are you? Did you get a ticket? You know what I mean? It's not a problem. Everybody is welcome. But one of the things I'm going to add in is a little bit more thorough discussion in the beginning class of physiology with a few more slides, because one of the things I don't cover as well as I'd like to at this point is addressing the question of, if I do this, am I going to ruin my ass forever, right? I want to talk with you about that to reassure you, and also have a drawing there that shows you the physiology of that area of your body so that you can be looking at that when I'm talking to you about the different things about the rectal canal and the sphincter at the end of it and all that way cool stuff. So one of the questions that came up in the last webinar that I'm going to go ahead and answer right now, and hopefully this person will be listening, is I talk about dental dams because I talk about foreplay, right? And one of the things that I absolutely love with foreplay is rimming. I've said it before, I don't think there is anything, at least in my world, that will open up an ass more quickly than a warm, wet tongue. But there are, understandably, a whole bunch of people out there that just kind of have whatever reaction they have to that, but it's not necessarily a positive one. They really shy away from it. So a possible solution, should you wish to still pursue that, yet have more comfort with a barrier in between, is what's called dental dams. And the reason they call them that is because those are those sheets of latex that they use when they do dental work on you and they don't want the stuff that they're drilling out of your tooth or whatever to go down your throat and into your body, right? So what they are is they're very, very thin, flexible sheets of latex. So I was talking about those in the webinar and somebody asked, do they make them out of anything but latex? Ooh, I love it when people ask me questions that I don't know the answer to, because I didn't know the answer to that. So here is the answer. The answer is no, they do not. However, two substitutions for those dental dams would be Saran wrap, right? Just your basic plastic wrap. You can tear off a piece of that and use it. The other thing is you can take a condom that is non-latex, and usually those are polystyrene, and you can cut it open and use that as a dental dam as well. So there you go. You have options. Because if you really want to try that, but you're kind of freaked out about putting your tongue directly on your partner's anus, and you want the barrier in there, there's some options for you. Awesome. So one more thing here about the webinar. Having a map inside of your head about the structure of the inside is really, really helpful in a whole variety of different ways. Like, for example, I recently ordered a 3D model of the clitoris, seriously, which is much, much bigger and more extensive than you would ever believe. I just needed to see it. And I really wanted to buy one of these models, so I did. And I got it in this beautiful sort of pink-violet color. And, you know, I was thinking about posting a picture of it up on Facebook and saying, my clitoris has arrived. But the point is that, okay, remember I mentioned how I had a really good weekend with a new play partner? So that play partner was doing some amazing G-spot type of stuff with fingers going like back and forth inside my vagina. And it just felt so good for a moment there. And I thought, oh, those are those two parts that go down around the side. It was so funny. It's like it was in my head. So when you have a map in your head, it really can help. And it really can make you just so much more aware of what you're doing, where you're doing it, and what might feel really, really exceptional. And that's one of the things I teach in the webinar. So yeah. All right, we are good to go here. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcasts, my erotica, and the forum. Or you can go to pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase, and send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too literal, too lame, or too licentious. Wait, that's not true. That last one's not true. There are definitely questions that are too licentious. or too lackadaisical. There you go. That's the words that are coming out of my mind today. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.